You're listening to the Hassett Insurance Podcast, hosted by Patrick Hassett and Ted Work. All right, here we are. Welcome to the show. Today, hi, I'm Ted. Patrick's here also. We are going to be talking about home insurance.
Yes.
Is that correct? Now, first question, I know you have something to get to, but I just have a quick question. Are we going to be talking about renter's insurance at all?
We can.
Okay. So we'll get to the kind of the difference between those, but I think there is something you wanted to bring up at the top of the show. Is that correct?
There is. We have a dedicated listener who is one of our amazing reps for Hassett Insurance.
Right.
His name is Robbie Jackson, mm-hmm. and he works for American Modern. Mm-hmm. And he listened to the podcast and was concerned that I did not bring up American Modern as a place to put classic cars. Robbie, I am very sorry that I forgot to do that.
Sponsored by American Modern, of course. The Hassett Insurance Podcast.
So, Robbie, there is your shout out. American Modern is a great place for classic cars, along with lots of other type of residential and recreational products.
Excellent. And that's for insurance products for those things, right?
Correct.
So awesome. Well, moving away from car insurance.
Sorry, Robbie.
We're going to pull away from the driveway into the garage and through the door into the actual house.
Yeah.
What have we got home-wise?
So home insurance is important because most people live in one.
Right.
And yes. They need to make sure that their stuff is insured, the house is insured. So you had mentioned renter's insurance. So, you know, as an agency, we do tons of different types of home insurance. So you have your primary home where you live, you bought the house, you have renter's insurance, you have, if you have a rental property, that also requires insurance. And then you have rehab insurance. So if someone's going to, you know, rehab a home, make it beautiful, and then sell it, like flip it. That's also requires insurance. And then you have your, like, a builder's risk policy where someone you know that's buying, like, a brand new home. That needs special insurance, too. So we can do all that.
What if I have a Airbnb on my property?
Great question. So insurance, we've talked about this a little bit, but, like, insurance, whatever the trends are with like Lyft, Airbnb, same thing. Insurance is a little slow to get there.
Right.
But yeah, that definitely requires different insurance. That would, it's either a long-term rental where you have someone that signs like a 6 month to a year lease or more than that, or you have your Airbnb type places that, you know, it's 1 to 3 to 5 days. And so, yeah. There's definitely different insurance for that.
Gotcha. So, is that, so based on what kind of Airbnb situation you do, you would have to get different insurance, but
it's important to do that. So like a lot of people will take a second home and then they'll, you know, rent it out when they're not there. That's okay too. Yeah. We have carriers that will write that. Uh-huh. But you know, it's a different, there's a premium cost for that, right? So think about it. If you have one renter and a tenant for a year, or you have 50 in your house in a year, potential for something to go wrong is probably higher with the Airbnb, hence there's a cost for it.
Sure. Gotcha. All right. Well, is there any other things we didn't talk about that kind of are underneath the umbrella of home insurance style types of coverage?
There's a lot of different, pieces to it, but like the basics are, so you want to insure the structure, right? And so that's what we look at as something called rebuild cost.
Okay.
So in today's market, you see homes, I mean, the real estate market has gone crazy the last like 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
But you also add in the special, we have inflation now, right? And so people are like, well, why is this more expensive? Why is gas more expensive? It's inflation. So what happens is the rebuild cost of homes increases. So the materials, the labor, it's all like 40 to 50% higher than it was a year to 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So what you're going to see is the value, it's not necessarily the value of your home, but the rebuild cost of your home increases. So you want to make sure that your insurance keeps up with that. If you have a total loss, that it can be rebuilt.
Sure.
So I hear this all the time from people. People will call in and say, you know, my neighbor's home sold for $890,000, but you only have it insured for $500,000. Why? Mm-hmm. So rebuild cost and value of home are different, right? Insurance only cares about the rebuild cost. So, you know, the value of your home is based off market factors, supply, demand.
Right.
You know, you have a few amount of homes. You have a lot of people that want that. That drives the cost up. So homes in, you know, Central Phoenix, there's no more land. Right. Yeah. And so there's a premium to that home.
Sure.
So what we look at is we talk to the client. We kind of go through, did you do any updates to the kitchen? Have you redone your flooring? Have you done an addition? What is new inside the home? You know, do you have, it's really the kitchen and the bathroom drives the cost along with just the square footage.
Sure.
So if you took just a basic kitchen and then you made it beautiful, that's going to cost more to rebuild, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we talk about all that stuff. And at the end of the conversation, we come up with a dollar amount. It's called replacement cost. So people will say, well, there's still a gap there. Why? You know, I want to insure it for what it would sell for. That's not how the home insurance works. The gap is the land value.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
Okay.
So, and it's not like your land is going to burn down.
No.
Usually. I mean, that doesn't usually happen, but I mean.
So here, that's, so if you had a total loss, hopefully, you know, no one ever wants that.
Right.
But if you have a total loss, you still own the land. You still have to make the payment on it.
So a total loss is like you, like your house is totaled.
Like it burns to the ground.
Burns to the ground. Nothing, not usable at all.
Like, nothing left.
What if you're, if you get hit, if your house gets hit by like a car and just takes out the whole living room, you still got other rooms, still structurally okay. Hope, I mean, if you check to see if it's all good still, not a total loss. Rebuild that stuff. You can
yeah, so your insurance has something called loss of use on it. And so what the loss of use is, so if you have a car in your living room, you probably don't want to live there.
Yeah, right.
You're going to pull the car out. You're going to put boards up.
Yeah.
And you're going to move.
Sure.
So loss of use puts you in a like property in the same area for, there's a usually a dollar amount to it, depends on what it is. But the idea of that is that we're, the insurance is going, so that's, you know, your house is damaged.
Yeah.
We're going to move you out of there. And so that they can rebuild the home.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So you have your structure, right? You have your personal items inside the house.
Right.
So that's like your pots and pans, your clothes, your furniture. You have loss of use,
okay,
which we just talked about, okay, and then you have liability and medical payments. Those are the main pieces of the of your home,
okay?
So like liability medical payments, so you have someone at your house, they get bit by a dog, okay?
Okay.
You can offer the medical payments. Maybe they want to sue you.
Sure.
Which would be unfortunate, but that's what you have insurance for.
Sure. And does that increase your insurance if you've been sued for something like that? It's like the risk of, is it not supposed to?
Your insurance never goes down.
Well, right. No, I totally get that.
So anytime insurance pays out on a claim of some kind, you're going to see a premium increase. The benefit of being with a broker like us is that we'll see that and we'll reshop it.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, people are always like, you know, I don't really want to do this. I don't want to file a perfect example. I got a call yesterday from a great client, older home, beautiful, but she has a huge bay window in the front. And that huge storm that we had like last week blew the window out.
Ugh.
So the window is not, it's old.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not up to code. You have a piece of your insurance that will increase it to code. But long and short, she's like, I don't really know if I want to file a claim on it. I said, well, how much do you think it's going to cost? And she's like, it's $20,000. And I said, so your deductible is $1,000. This makes sense.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
Right. So you're going to probably see an increase with it. But you, if you're just looking at numbers, I mean, you know, I went to ASU. I'm not like super great at math, but that seems to make sense to me. You pay $1,000, And then and I always tell people, what's the difference? It's not going to be the cost of what the damage was.
Yeah.
Of what you'd be out of pocket.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. It's definitely like at a certain point, like that's what it's all about is how high, like a big event like that, it's supposed to kind of spread it out. And so, that's.
You want the insurance to work for you. Right?
Exactly. What have you been paying for if you don't use the insurance on a big thing? Exactly.
That's the whole thing. And I'm not going to tell someone, don't do this. Right. But like if you have a $1,000 deductible and you have a window that's $1,500.
Yeah.
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 I wouldn't do that. But sure. I'm not going to tell someone, no, it's ultimately their money.
Yeah.
You know, but I just, so if you have a home claim of any kind, it stays with you for 5 years.
Okay.
So kind of what you need to look at, so it's 3 to 5. Most carriers are 5, some are 3. So what you look at is, okay, so I have a $1,000 deductible, I have a $1,500 window, so I'm basically getting $500. I'm paying $1,000 to get a $500 claim paid. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to do that, mm-hmm. but you also have to look at, okay, so I'm going to have a rate increase for 5 years. Does this make sense to do it? Usually it doesn't, but ultimately people look at money differently. So
yeah.
I just tell people this is what happens.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So what are, we talked about the different elements of home insurance. What are things that maybe aren't included in like renter's insurance? Is it the same elements that are included in renter's insurance?
Some of it is. So like you don't insure the structure because you don't own it.
Right. Okay.
So you always need an insurable interest in whatever you're insuring to insure it. Gotcha. So in renters, you're really looking at your personal items.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at liability in the residence.
Okay, yeah.
And here's the thing, like renter's insurance is really inexpensive.
Yeah, yeah.
But most people don't have it because either they don't know or they don't want to spend the money. So here's an example that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you have, let's say that you have, I mean, I'm sure that you have amazing things in your place.
So check this out. Okay. Here is an actual thing that happened. I had a recording board like this. It was the smaller version.
Okay.
And I accidentally left my car unlocked. And I left it in my car. And someone took it and a microphone. And it basically totaled like $1,200.
Okay.
And I had renter's insurance that was like $200 a year.
Right.
And I filed a claim and I got $1,100 back. Totally worth it. That's the perfect situation for me. Right. No, my car wasn't broken into. It was unlocked because I'm an idiot. So it wasn't like a car insurance thing. And I like researched this and kind of looked into it, and I park outside my apartment or whatever. So it worked out for me, and that's the perfect situation for me. So that kind of the situation you were about to say. So.
Absolutely. So awesome. Like anytime you have whatever the dollar amount. So like, let's say that you're on vacation and someone like kicks the door in and ransacks your apartment and steals everything.
Yeah.
So you pay whatever the deductible is. Typically we'll write like $500 on a renter's insurance. And you get all your stuff paid for.
Yeah.
Like it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. And like we were saying, the best, you know, it's so easy to just walk around your house and like take a video every once in a while, every few months, just to kind of make sure you kind of have a fairly good idea of what all stuff you have. That's the way to do it.
It's anytime you're dealing with underwriting, like the more information you can provide to them showing that you're not lying.
Sure. Yeah.
Is good. So it needs to make sense. We've talked about that. So if like, you know, your apartment gets ransacked and you're like, I had 14 flat screen TVs.
Right.
It's not going to work.
My katana collection was taken. But if you have a video of your room full of katana collection, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, there it is.
People have weird things. That moves me into this is good.
Yeah.
So something that people don't understand with insurance and that renters is also, it's your personal item. So there's caps to certain things.
Okay.
So like fine arts, collectibles.
Magic cards.
I'll get there. Yeah.
Right.
Firearms. We're in Arizona. Everyone has those, it seems like.
Sure.
And then jewelry.
Okay.
So it's about a $1,500 cap per category.
Okay.
We always talk about this because I don't want that to be a claim, right? And so if it's a situation where, hey, do you have guns? Right.
Sure.
And so people are like, I have like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of guns.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I've had the conversation with people before. It's strange to me, but so look, I believe you, but I need to show proof. Right. So you need to send me appraisals, receipts.
Yeah.
Serial numbers.
Yeah.
You're right. And so the things that are expensive, like you need to endorse them onto the policy.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
So that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And so like if there was a total loss at a place or someone robbery and they stole all of the guns or all of the jewelry or all of the things, you know, they're only going to pay out to a certain amount. But like electronics, so like computers, there's typically no limit for.
Okay.
I mean, if you have a $10,000 gaming computer, so if you look at something in your house and you're like, that thing's really expensive, you should probably call your insurance agent to make sure it's covered the right way.
Yeah.
Like bikes, $5,000, $10,000 bikes.
Wow.
You know, I have people that have hundreds of thousand dollars worth of jewelry on their policies.
Sure.
You know, and so if you lose the, you know, mysterious disappearance, I mean, verbiage is important with insurance.
Okay. Yeah.
That's how it reads.
Sure.
You know, you need to make sure that you have additional coverage for that.
Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. So in the so there's like a $1,500 just kind of you get that
$1,500 to $2,500 is kind of industry standard, depends on how the policy's written,
right?
But yeah, that's fine arts, collectibles, jewelry, firearms. So you had mentioned magic cards.
Yes.
Okay. So that's something that you collect, right?
Much anymore, but sure. Yeah, I know a little bit about it. Sure.
So like my son, our 12-year-old loves baseball cards.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So like I love baseball cards now with him.
Yeah.
Okay. And I, you know, being an adult and having like real money. Like, that's dangerous to have collectibles.
Oh, dude. You can buy a $10,000 box of baseball cards. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's nowadays. Very easy. So, it's ridiculous, you know, that's something that I need to, so, like, we need to put that on. We need to insure those.
Yeah.
I don't have anything that's, like, super, super expensive.
Sure.
But over time, it starts to add up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A lot of cardboard.
Yeah, I have. I mean, I have a collectibles insurance company that will do like oddball stuff.
Okay.
So, I have a client that loves like action figures.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has thousands of dollars worth of them.
Yeah.
So it's like the.
Like in box? Like mint? Okay. So there you go. All right.
So they're worth stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so I can't remember if we talked about this or not, but this was at my old place. I had a lady that called in. This is probably like 15 years ago. And she's like, I have like $50,000 worth of Beanie Babies.
Yeah. Oh, we did a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, those things, they're not worth anything.
That's rough. I just watched a thing. There's a show, I think, on Netflix where they're talking about the 90s and like all the crazy stuff going on in the 90s. And they had a whole episode about Beanie Babies and like how that was like the first website where you could catalog the stuff they sold, like that, they came up with that, and everybody's like, "Whoa, they're releasing a new Beanie Baby," and it looks like absolute garbage.
People used to get into like fist fights about Beanie Babies, waiting in line. It's crazy, very we're in a strange place.
Yeah, it's and that was 20 years ago,
right? It's a thousand times worse now.
Yeah, no, totally.
So yeah,
that's rough.
Yeah, so like, kind of like, bottom line with that stuff is, if you have something that you're investing money into.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You should probably call and talk to us about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. However abstract and weird it is, I'm sure that we can find. You want to make sure that if something happens to it, that it's insured, right?
Sure.
So, like, you know, art is one of those things too. Art's very subjective, right?
Right.
So, you know, you might think that it's worth X amount, but the general public might not.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that's where it's to add it to the policy. It's very easy. It's typically inexpensive to do that. Appraisal, bill of sale, receipt, something showing value, and then you add it onto the insurance, and then you're covered.
Sure. Yeah. Awesome. 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 Is there anything? So we're in the part of the show where we talk about specific stories without trying to give away too much information. What is an interesting claim that you've had? Like, you've talked about houses being broken into and a bunch of guns being stolen, or just someone has a bunch of guns?
I mean, there's all sorts of different stuff. So, like, theft claims happen all the time.
Right.
Right. Okay. And so, you know, you get the phone call, my house is broken into.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what happened?
Sure.
Well, I don't know. Okay. Well, I.
Sure.
You weren't there. I get
yeah.
it. So let's like backtrack to the whole thing. So there's typically, you know, what if the door gets kicked in? So there's property damage there.
Sure.
Right. So the insurance will, you know, on a homeowner's insurance, they'll prepare the damage of the door. They'll typically redo the keys. They'll redo the locks. And then they'll, you know, if your house got ransacked, they're going to, you know, pay for all that stuff. So this is something that we have a friend that like just moved here from another state, kind of a rough start. Okay.
Okay.
Moves here, has issues with her vehicle, like her vehicle was stolen.
Okay.
So, vehicle was stolen. They joyride it. They get the vehicle back. They take it to like a dealership. This is crazy. They take it to the dealership. Yeah. The dealership is like, the car's fine. And then what they didn't check was there was like no oil in it or something. I'm not sure. And it blew the transmission up.
Oh, like after the fact or like?
Yeah. So there's issues with this. I do not insure them.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm trying to help our friend with this whole thing.
Sure.
So this is like, again, just moved here. Right. So they have this whole issue with the car. They're in, when the car gets stolen. So the keys from, they steal the car. They have the keys to the place that she's living.
Oh yeah.
So, now they need to move. Right. And so they break the lease. I mean, this person has been here for like 3 days and like, all of this has gone down.
Jesus.
Welcome to Arizona. Wow. Right? So the landlord's like, we'll let you out of there because she was concerned.
Yeah.
Rightly that someone could have copies of the keys, you know, to break in. It wouldn't even breaking in. They just watch, you know, go into the place when they're gone and steal all the stuff.
Yeah.
So they ended up moving, but that's something that, I mean, again, that's not in our agency, but I'm trying to help her walk that road with their claim.
Sure.
And I mean, can you think of like a worst, like welcome to, like all that stuff happened in like 48, 72 hours is nuts.
Wow.
Yeah. She likes it here though. So, you know, outside of that, it's kind of a bumpy road, but
yeah, today is day four. So it's,
it can't be worse. You know, I don't know. I just, I mean, over the, I've been in insurance for like 17 years. I've seen all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like if you look online, there's like, you know, you can find like the 100 craziest claims. Right. And so it'll show someone in their backyard or it'll show a video of like a car rolling off the back of like a car loader.
Yeah.
And you can see it from like the camera on the back of the house, down the street, through the yard, through the fence and into the pool.
Yeah. Ugh. Has that ever happened to you, and how do they get that car out of the pool? I am so confused. Probably drain it.
I would think that they would probably get a crane and move it.
Just get a crane
and pull it out. But that's something that, like, you know, whose claim is that? Is it covered or not covered?
Sure.
You know, and so those are things that it's always there's black and white, and we've talked about this in insurance, and then there's a lot of gray area.
Yeah, I bet there's a lot of situations where if it hadn't happened, no one could ever possibly think of the combination of events that happened.
Well, you're like, wait a minute, what did you say? So there's kind of like, so we have something called errors and omissions insurance.
Okay.
And so that is if there's a mistake made on a policy or you say something's insured and it's not, that comes into play. And so rather than just telling the person, sorry, we made a mistake, you're on your own, it goes on your errors and omissions and whatever. And so when I first started, we had to do this class. It was like an E&O class.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm on my own. I'm just trying to, this is 11 years ago. I'm trying to just figure it out, right? Yeah. There's a lot of stuff.
Okay? Sure, I bet.
And I was scared to death of this. Okay. So I go through this, I go to this class. And it was through Independent Insurance Agents of Arizona. Okay, they do a great job of it. I'm still a member of this organization, but I'm just trying to figure the whole thing out.
Yeah,
right? Like I'm like bleeding money. I'm not writing anything. I don't know what I'm doing. And I take this class, and this class scared the you know what out of me.
Oh, okay? Shit!
Because it's talking about all of these terrible things that can happen.
Yeah,
right. Where you have to make sure that you're using your management tool. And like at that point, I didn't even have one that was like online. I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm not doing any of this right. Okay.
Yeah.
So they always talk about this famous story, and it's, you know, there's like a rancher, it's an insurance agent. The rancher calls and says, hey, I just got like this prize horse. You know, it's like Friday at like 5:30. The guy's like, no problem. I'll add it when I get back into the office. And he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
And the horse gets like struck by lightning. Like, what the hell? What are the chances of that happening?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what?
Sure.
But it's sure enough, like that Friday night, the horse gets struck by lightning, or I can't remember what the whole deal was.
Something happened. The horse is dead.
Horse is definitely dead.
Yeah.
And, dead. The horses are expensive.
Yeah.
You know, and so the guy's like, you know, I want you to. And so that ended up going to the guy's errors and omissions. But it's like stuff like that. It's stuff that you would be like, how did that happen?
Gotcha.
You know? So
when you say it goes on to his missions, is it like the insurance writer? It goes on theirs or just the person's?
No, whatever. So like in the event of something like that happening, that guy would have to call whomever he wrote his Arizona missions policy for.
Okay.
Whoever he wrote it with and say, hey, like I told this guy I would insure his horse and I forgot. And then the horse got struck by lightning.
You're not going to believe this story.
Right. And so, you know, they'll look at documentation, figure out the total, like, and they'll pay out on it.
Okay.
You know, and so
gotcha.
That's how that would work.
Sure.
Some companies will, you know, if it's a mistake, it's error, right?
Yeah.
Or omission. You omitted the horse.
Yeah.
Or you forgot to put it on. It's an error. So
sure.
But that's kind of like that's something that you hope you never have to use, but it's there. You know.
All right. Well, we're nearing the very end of our episode for today. Is there anything that we want to talk about that we didn't get to about home insurance, renter's insurance, any type of insurance like that?
No. I mean, I think we covered kind of like the basics with it.
Yeah.
But so really like with the value of homes and the cost to rebuild.
Yeah.
That's something that you should really look at. And so at renewals, what we're doing, or people will call and say, hey, I don't feel like the home is insured enough.
Okay.
And so we're happy to always look at that again. We want to make sure that in the event of something happening, it's covered.
Mm-hmm.
But at renewal, what we're doing is we're rerunning their replacement cost estimators just to see what, I mean, and it's usually there's a 7% inflation guard built into your policy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, the media says that that inflation is, it's much higher than that.
Sure.
You know, I'm seeing homes increase normally where it would be like a $4,000 because your coverage A increases. So let's say your home's insured at $200,000. You know, they have a 7% inflation guard on it. So, you know, say it would go up like, you know, $1,500 in dwelling or something like
okay.
that. Now you're seeing it at like 30.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
So it's a huge difference.
Yeah.
So that's something that, you know, always look at that when you look at your paperwork.
Yeah.
And but we're seeing huge increases with that just because the cost to rebuild so much higher.
Sure.
So that's something just to keep an eye on.
All right. Well, thank you, Patrick, for joining me today. And we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Hassett Insurance Podcast. You can support the show by giving us a rating on iTunes or your podcast player of choice. If you have a question or you'd like to write in, please send an email to HassettInsurancePod@gmail.com. This podcast was produced by T-Door Productions. Music by The Mini Vandals.